Words from the world.
Palavras del mundo.
Tigurewin somadal. Les paroles du monde.
Kalimatun min al-alam.
Ciao a tutti, tutte e tutto. Riprende il podcast Words from the World della scuola d'italiano libera e gratuita di Padova, Libera la Parola. Noi siamo Ilaria
e Roberta
e come prima puntata di questa nuova stagione approfondiremo quello che sta accadendo nei territori occupati della Palestina insieme ad Anat, ex studentessa palestinese di Libera la Parola. La puntata sarà in lingua inglese. Potrete trovare la traduzione nella sezione testo in basso.
Hi, thanks for being with us in this first episode of the new season.
Hi, good evening.
In the last weeks, the debate in Italy has shifted toward gender-based violence, especially after Giulia Cecchettini's feminicide. But we know that the conflict, the violence and the suffering are still going on in the territories of Palestine. We would like to put some attention to talk about it with you, that you are a Palestinian woman.
First of all, the situation here is so bad and it's very different from territory to another. So I hope to speak up about my situation, my region situation, and to give you more information what's happening here.
We would like to start by asking you, where are you at this moment? And after your experience here in Italy, what are you doing?
I'm back home now. I'm back living with my parents. I live in a city called Umm El Fahim. It's an Arab Muslim city in the 48 occupied Palestine, which is under the Israel government. So technically, I have an Israeli ID. After leaving Italy and Padova, I'm now back to work. I'm working as a music teacher for people and students with disorders.
Would you like to tell us what is happening in your region? What are the main facts? What do you think it's important to know here in Italy?
So, as I said, I'm a Palestinian girl who have an Israeli ID, and I live under the Israeli occupation and Israeli government. So the situation here is different than the West Bank and Gaza. We are considered Israelis because we have an Israeli ID, but in fact we are the Palestinians who remain in their homes and land after the Nakba, which is my grandfather, my grandmother refused to leave their home, their land, and stayed in it, and forced to have the Israeli IDs. We are Muslims, Christians, Druze, Bedouins. We face so many laws from the Israeli government. For example, in the last months, we face laws about the freedom of speech, for example. We are not allowed to speak about what's happening here. Everyone who speaks something, writes something in the social media, participate in any kind of actions, or being arrested in my region, everyone who tried to speak up about the situation and what's happening or express their thoughts and feelings, we face forced displacements. We are denied from expressing our opinion freely. Many people are threatened to be fired from their professional work, students from their universities. Many disagreements laws has entered in force. After the 7th of October, we are now a control of what we are watching in the social media. Everyone now who has a smartphone can see and scroll on the social media and see what's happening, see videos. But we are controlled for how much time we spend scrolling in the social media. For example, people got arrested because they wrote a phrase from Quran. It's not, and phrases are not really has a relationship with what's happening in Gaza. So we are facing so many laws that control our thoughts. No one helping us. We are considered Israelis in the eyes of the other people. The Israeli government sees us as Palestinians and treat us bad and refuse to leave our Palestinian culture, our mother tongue. We have laws here that denied us of speaking in Arabic in local places, speaking in Arabic at work, speaking at Arabic at universities. We are not allowed to speak our mother tongue. We were since the 48 forced to learn Hebrew, learned by the Israeli culture. We are not allowed to speak about Nakba in our schools. They have been brainwashing Palestinians in the 48 for many years. No one really care about what's happening here, and that's make me feel sad because, yeah, I know the situation in Gaza and the West Bank are worse because they are facing a real military occupation, but we have here an identity occupation. Something else is happening here in the 48th region that people need to know. In the last few years, we had a very big case, which is the gangs, the killing gangs in the Arabic community. They are Arabic gangs killing Arabic people. The killing in the Arabic community, for example, this year, we had 200 people has been killed because of these gangs, but zero cases had a solution. But if we look in the Jewish community, they solved every case. Why we are being killed without knowing who's the killer? The Israeli police they are helping these gangs, give them the weapons and give them the green light to kill because they are killing Arabs. Any Arab will kill a Jewish or Israeli, they will immediately arrest them and know and solve the situation. But because we are Arabs killing Arab, they don't really care. I will give you a statistic that happened this time till the war. I told you that we have almost 200 people been killed this year. We are speaking about men from 18 years old. But when the war started, 65% of the killing in the Arabic community stopped. 65%. Just this week, when the ceasefire is happening, the cases are coming back, the killing are coming back in the Arabic community. So this statistic give us the reason why the killing is continuing and who is the real player in this gang situation. So we are being killed by the gang, but by the hands of the Israeli police and Israeli government.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we know that the Israeli occupation is not reason at all, even though Western media concentrate only on the events of the 7th of October as it is started from there. But actually, we know that you mentioned before Nakba, you mentioned 1948, and we would like to actually ask you, what are the most important moments, historical moments, that we need to consider when we talk about Palestine? Because Palestine has been struggling for years under the Israeli occupation.
For sure, the main event is the Nakba, which is considered as a catastrophe, though still universally undefined as a genocide, even though we have thousands of Palestinians have been killed since the Nakba till today. Other main event is the Oslo Agreement. Oslo Agreement has been made by the Palestinian Territory and Israel, which is what was the first step of having a Palestinian state beside the Israeli state. In fact, the implementation of Gaza siege was in the 2007, which is after the Oslo Agreement. The side that didn't really respect this agreement was the Israeli occupation, because they continue to build more settlements, more illegal settlements in the Palestinian territories. They continue to demolish houses, killing people, arresting children, women. And they didn't really stop doing and using their forces. Actually, they didn't stop the genocide, even though they have a legal agreement with the Palestinian territory. The one who really don't want to have peace with the Palestinians are the Israeli government. Because even though they did this agreement, they didn't really stop what they were doing since 48. To continue with the Gaza stage, which I said it was in the 2007, while as I mentioned in the Oslo agreement, Israel should have withdrawn from every single territory on Gaza and make Palestinians free on administration, the Strip of Gaza. But that didn't really happen. Even though they withdrew Gaza, they did an airstrike occupation, sea occupation, and built this huge siege around Gaza. So this thing also in 2007 is a very important moment in the Palestinian history.
Thank you for what you are sharing with us, because I guess that is not easy to talk about it. And we have the last question for you. It's a hard question, but we would like to have your opinion. So, aside from the end of the occupation, as a Palestinian person, what kind of solution, organization, or perspective do you look at or you hope for? And what do you think of the two population, two state idea? Do you think it is possible, or you have in mind other alternatives?
Actually, historically, the two-state solution appears unrealistic because, as I said about the Oslo Accord, intended as a step towards resolution. But we are now 30 years after this step, and we are 30 years of speaking of the two-states solution, and nothing really changed. We have more occupation, we have more illegal settlements, we have more killing. So I don't think that the two-state solution is realistic and is working, because they are trying for more than 30 years to make it happening, and it's not. And let me say something. Okay, we did a two-state solution. What about us, the Palestinians who live under the Israeli government? That means, two-state solution is more brainwashing, more ID washing, more ID deleting, actually. That make us more Israeli, to be more Israelis, not to be more Palestinians. So for me, it's so bad. Otherwise, we are speaking about almost more than 100 illegal settlers in the West Bank. Who's gonna make these 100,000 settlers move from the West Bank after 30 years of illegal settlement? Two-state solution means Palestinians forced to leave their homes and land in the 48. So for me, it's unrealistic. And to be honest, I don't know what's the realistic situation now, because I don't know. Having a real solution of occupation, I don't know there's another solution of occupation than ending the occupation. Because if you speak of two-state situation, whereas the Palestinian territory don't really have freedom of electricity, freedom of economy. The most 80% of the Palestinian lands in the West Bank are stolen from Israel. Who's going to make the Israeli occupation bring back these lands? I don't know if that's realistic, because we see now what's happening in Gaza. They are refused to stop the war. They are killing children. They say no, we are not. We are trying to end Hamas or the resistance in Gaza. How we can make this government to stop and lift everything and say, yeah, after all this, yeah, I will do, I will make this step and live peacefully beside the Palestinian state. We see since Oslo till this day, as I mentioned before, the one who didn't really respect these solutions were the Israelis. And also I can say about other Arabic countries around us, they approved to have this two-side solution, but the government really didn't really leave them alone. We have other wars with the other Arabic areas. So I think this solution is not really realistic, and we are daily seeing that it's not going to really work. That's what I can say about this situation. And I'm not in the situation, a place to give other solution than ending the occupation.
We clearly asked your perspective, but obviously we don't have answers about this situation.
Actually, I don't know that anyone have an answer about this situation. It's so hard to really say, yeah, we can do this and that.
Yeah, that's so...
I think it's so hard.
Yeah, that's so true. And so many times there is this phrase, this sentence, oh, it's too complicated, so that it's not really faced, the situation analyzed from many perspectives. As a last question, we would love for you to recommend us a song that is important for you, and to briefly tell us why it's important for you. And we are gonna put this song in the end of this episode, because we like to know, for the person who comes here to speak, to tell us a connection, a musical connection, an artistic connection to your story and your experience as a Palestinian person in the occupied lands.
I think right now in this situation, we have a song from the first Palestinian Intifada in Arabic called "Ahd Allah Ma Nirhal," which is meaning in English, "God's willing, we are not gonna leave." So it speaks about how Palestinians refuse to leave their homes and land, even though they will be killed. And I am mentioning this song because a few days ago I watched a video about Gazan children in the UNRWA schools singing this song while the Israeli airstrike going. That shows how Palestinian people love their land, and they will always refuse to be forced to get out from their homes and land, and they will continue to resist. The song speaks about how we will remain and stay even if they will kill us, they will make us with no food, no water, no electricity, and that's what really happening. What's happening now in Gaza. So since the Intifada till this day, the Palestinian people are saying the same thing. We will not leave.
We are going to listen to the song at the end of the episode. I think it's a very powerful and meaningful song. So thanks a lot. Yeah. We also thank you for your time, for your dedication, in telling us your experience, your thoughts and your feelings. I think that this is Libera la Parola strength. It is the capacity to create networks and links across territories and countries. So that we had the opportunity to talk to you and to share your experience and what is happening in Palestine and in your country.
I want to thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I hope that I spoke about everything. I tried to, but we are talking about 7 years of occupation, so I don't know how can we really speak briefly about what's happening, because we are living this daily. thank you again, and I really appreciate your you having me here.
Grazie per aver ascoltato la prima puntata del podcast Words from the World di Libera la Parola, scuola libera e gratuita di Padova. Prima di lasciarci, ecco la canzone suggerita da Nat, dal titolo God's Willing We're Not Gonna Live. عهد الله نشوع الموت ولا نرحل عهد الله ما نرحل عهد الله نشوع الموت ولا نرحل عهد الثورة والثوار والجماهير ما نرحل عهد الثورة والثوار والجماهير ما نرحل واحنا قطعة من هالأرض واحنا قطعة من هالأرض وعمر الأرض وعهد الله ما بنرحل عهد الله ما نرحل عهد الله نشوع الموت ولا نرحل عهد الله نشوع الموت ولا نرحل عهد الثورة والثوار والجماهير ما نرحل عهد الثورة والثوار والجماهير ما نرحل